One caravan's on the mountains, one caravan's from the sea, one caravan's made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One caravan's from the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one caravan. One caravan heals the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
everybody, Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world, WWRB. Tonight, we're going into a study that we think is going to be very unique. I think it's part 22. So this will perhaps be the last part of our 20 and 12 series that we've enjoined this last couple of weeks. Bringing about the revelation of the changeover. We have really enjoyed this series. We've learned a whole lot. We hope you have. And if you'll stay tuned tonight, you might learn some more about a study of angels. Have you ever really thought about them? Where do angels come from? Well, you're going to say heaven. Obvious question, where's heaven? Well, I don't know. Well, then you don't know a lot about angels, so you might want to stay tuned, and we'll get into the study of it, and you may learn. Now, for you night owls, those who set up late anyway, we thank Yahweh for you. For you that sacrifice and set up because you love the Word, just love to study the Word, we appreciate that. And for those that can't sleep, we appreciate that also. We pray for your rest after the program when we study about angels. Now, if you look at the subject of angels, we have to separate angels. And this is where the problem comes in. We have holy angels, and we have unholy angels. We have good angels, and we have bad. We have angels that assist, and angels that will not assist. Just like people here on earth, there's no difference. I found out that the family in heaven is just like the family on earth. They fight, they argue, they quarrel, about different things. They don't agree. They take revenge. They pout. They're jealous. They're envious. They're proud. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad, like I say. So they're just all kinds of different angels. Now, I really like to talk about angels because I've had several occasions over my many years of being here on the planet of seeing a lot of people. You know, we look at people and we look for what we can see in them. I think we're looking for an angelic being, basically built into the physical man. And that may be a lot of truth that in that statement, that you meet good and bad. What are they like? That's a question that we could answer here. Now, we could talk a long time about that. Where do they dwell? How do angels do? And how does it affect us at this level? What is the destiny of angels? Do demons really exist? Where do they come from? What are they like? What do demons do, and how much does it affect us as a result of what they do? Does Satan really exist? Now, that's a good one. We could spend a long time on that one. Where does Satan come from? What's he like? Where does he dwell? How does Satan do, and how does he do it? And does it affect us when he does? These are the things that we're going to consider tonight in respect to angels. Now, in general, if we want to know the main reason that the people have so much skepticism about angels and the supernatural, it's because they've never seen one, they've never had one around, they never hear it to talk or relate. They don't get up in front of the TV like the president and make a speech. But now they've been known to come down to this planet where they live at. And we'll take that up just a little bit later on in the address here tonight, that angels do have an existence. Now, we know also that angels and their life, if they've got a life, we know that the Bible, and I've searched the Bible over and over. I really got interested in angels when I had an encounter. And I really get emotional when I think about this encounter, and it's been quite some time ago. It's still just like it was yesterday. And I can't get over how the one that I saw, that I think I found out later he was an angel, I still could be mistaken. But there's so many things in it that I believe that he was an angel, and yet he looked so real in the earthly realm. Now, the Bible says that some people, some men and women, have entertained angels without even knowing it. And I find that strange, too. That must mean that they blend in just like we are. Now, how do they, if they've got a body like us, or can they grab a body off the shelf, you know, and when they're coming into our third dimension, if they're from the fourth or the fifth, can they cover their spirit bodies if they are spirits? Can they cover those spirits with flesh and bone like we got? Can they eat and drink like we do? If they can, were we at one time like them? With the ability to come into these third dimensional bodies and have an existence here and then go back to the other side and go in and out and find pastor? These are some of the questions that I've always, that's in entertain my spirit. I like to think about angels. I've met people that I know was the devil himself and really believed it to some extent. But I don't really think so. I believe they can influence us. For instance, if somebody is depressed, what kind of a spirit makes you depressed? I know perfectly people that are perfectly well physically, and it seemed like mentally and spiritually, and yet they're depressed. They want to kill themselves. They go on a suicide watch for no reason hardly at all. They want to leave here. What causes that? Well, psychiatry would probably value the information if we could give it. There's no certain information. Everyone, just like a different set of fingerprints. Now, we can relate genetically, but each genetic being has a different set of fingerprints. That's amazing to me. How does Yahweh keep up with everyone? Is he really concerned with everyone? Is it true that the very hairs on our head are numbered? I think about that. Especially since some of mine's falling out. I wonder if I'm causing that angel to work harder. Do they really count the hairs on your head? I thought, well, the function of angels is really strange. Being mentioned 400 times in the Bible. Now that should be enough to clue us in. And yet, when you get to looking, there's little said about angels. Now we know that angels are not to marry. That question was asked the Messiah. He said, angels neither marry or are given in marriage. Well, why is it that angels are always here in this dimension? They appear as males, dominant males. There is not, as I know of, a Bible recorded scripture anywhere in the Bible, in 1189 chapters that I've read. I do know that the book of Enoch has quite a listing of angels that I enjoy going over and reading about angels. But his primary concern, it seemed, with angels was the mediator. He was a mediator between Yahweh and the fallen angels, if there is such a thing as a fallen angel. Why would angels fall? Are they made with flaws? What would give them the flaws that they've got? Now, if all angels here is a product of a separate act of creation by Yahweh himself, then when that angel was made, what was he made out of? Now, we know that they're supposed to be messengers who pass on messages from Yahweh, and they do his running, they do his bidding, they're couriers, if you will, of information. They're ministering spirits, is basically what the Bible says, ministering spirits. Now, it says also that we are going, we're talking about now the human chain that's going to be found worthy, those whose names are written on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world, they are going to be able to judge these angels who are a little higher than they are. Now, ain't that strange?
Now, is there a hierarchy?
Well, there must be. We know that there's archangels. There's angels that are greater in stature. I don't know how they would be. Did Yahweh give them a separate mind? Or greater knowledge? Or greater sensitivity? Do they know more than some angels about the coming of the future? Did Satan know too much? Now, the Bible says that he was perfect until iniquity was found in him. Perfect. Now, how in the world was that iniquity? Was he made with iniquity, or did he pick up the habit of, like we do? Do we pick up habits of cursing and evil and murder and all the 17 works of the flesh? And I know good and well that I have manifested every one of them more than once. Had it not been for the mercy and the grace, I don't think I'd ever repented of doing that. What made me do that? What made you do that? What makes angels do that? That blows me away. How an angel who was created by Yahweh. Now, we looked into their eye color, if they've got eyes. I assume that they do, because when they come down here, they take upon themselves flesh bodies, and we entertain them. We talk with them. You know, one of the great things that really gets me is how mighty they are. How powerful. One of them. One of them was able to kill 185,000 in one night. I couldn't get over that. How that 185,000 souls died. 185,000 in one night. By one angel. Now, does the angel have to repent? Did that angel have to say, well, I got carried away, Yahweh, and overstepped my boundaries? No, he killed exactly 185,000 because it seemed like that Yahweh agreed by the decree. It is Yahweh that told him to kill 185,000, and he did so. We don't think he's ever sat in a judgment seat being judged for his deeds. If I killed 185,000 tonight, the law, which says, thou shalt not kill, well, it don't even say that. It says, thou shalt not murder. Now, when he killed 185,000, was it killing or was it murder? Well, if it'd been murder, it looked like he'd have been guilty of murder and thou shalt not murder. Would have broken the law of Yahweh's word. If he was justified in killing them, who said so? Who gave him permission to kill, you know, or if it's 185,000, you know there was probably at least 100,000 wives that cried that night. What about children and offspring? I know there was a great weeping in Assyria for these that lost their lives. It's mentioned four times in the Bible, out of these things, that there is a set of beings that are, they're not identified as angels. They're identified, and yet I guess they are. There's nowhere it says they ain't. Don't know of any place that says there is in the 400 times that I've studied these things. But who is it that's responsible You know, I know that the Bible says, Yahweh says, well, I'm the potter. You're the clay. Now, can the clay say to the potter, well, I was down there having a good time, and you came down and sent an angel down here, and you killed me and cut my life short. You owe me something. Is there such a way that Yahweh can pay that being back? Is it a law of reciprocity? Is it a law of what you give out comes back to you? That you reap what you sow? These are some of the questions about angels. I know I have, if I talked to an angel one night, and I think I did, he told me some marvelous things that I searched my memory banks to try to remember. He talked to me a good 2 or 3 hours that evening that he came home with me, and yet I can't remember. I can remember a word here or a thought there, here and there, but I can't for the life of me. It seems it's just like it went into my memory banks and it crashed and I can't retrieve it. My mind can't pull it up. I was thinking about the 4 times in the Bible that it talks about watchers. Daniel mentions it in the 4th chapter, and I've mentioned this before. I saw in the heavens, in my visions of my head, as I lay in my bed, I saw visions of my head upon my bed. Now, can you see an angel in a vision? Oh, yes, according to the Bible. And behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. Isn't that strange? Where is heaven? If we don't know where heaven is, we don't know where that angel came from. If heaven is up in the, you know, like we go up in a rocket ship out into heaven, the heavens, and we look at all these planets that are out there, we can identify some in our system that we all think about. I know I do. You reckon that there's bases, like I suspect, on the moon? What kind of bases? Who would build bases on the moon? Well, what if they were built there long before the inhabitants that inhabited Earth became inhabitants of the Earth? What if Mars at one time was inhabited long before Earth? You say, oh, buddy, you're beside yourself. What if angels help to assist man in development? The Bible says in the book of Daniel that they taught in the old days, which would be the young days, not the old days, because everything you go back to the very beginning, that's the young days. That's the beginning. That the angels begin to take authority and to teach this experiment of man on the earth, teach him how to do things. It taught him several things according to the book of Enoch. It taught him how to be a good guy, taught him how to be a bad guy, taught him how to use potions, talked about mathematics. Why didn't man have this knowledge that Adam had before he ever came to earth? Adam didn't have to go to a university. He didn't have to be taught anything. And yet, here comes angels that are teaching a certain species how to be evil. Adam was not deceived according to the Bible, but Eve was deceived by the cunning craftiness of the evil that was found in Satan when he fell. Now, the question is, when did he fall? Was Satan already a fallen being with iniquity in his heart before he ever spoke to Eve? Did Eve have the ability to read and discern Satan? Obviously she didn't. Was Adam deceived? Did he have the ability? Doesn't say whether he did or not, but it does say this much, that Adam was not deceived. He was off doing something else. I don't know what he was doing, but he was alone when this beautiful angel, he wasn't a snake, he was a charmer. We know that for sure. We know that he beguiled Eve and her and that beautiful angel done something. They committed an act that was, well, it was a sin. It was a transgression. That one thing there, when angels do not marry or mate, now don't say anywhere that Satan married Eve. It does indicate that he committed adultery or fornication with Adam's wife. It says that Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was, you know, these angels are cunning. Now, have you ever been caught up with the Spirit working with you? Oh, I have. Many, many times I've had to fight and wrestle. Isn't that what the Bible says? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Can angels influence without being here in the third dimension? They don't have to be really standing in front of us. It seems like they can take over our mind and tempt us. You know, the mind is the most powerful organ in the body. You can be perfectly normal, perfectly sane and intelligent, and in 5 minutes, if you listen to the devil, he can have you foaming at the mouth with envy and greed or lust. I'm telling you, it is so strange how that Yahweh made us upright, but we sought out many inventions. Now, you want to go to heaven with that type of a family? Well, if you look at your brother or sister, they have the same characteristics and sometimes worse than what an angel can conjure up and put in your mind. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Are these powers ordained before the foundation of the world to put you through some kind of a test? Are we being tested daily? Why is it that they have the advantage of us? They know what they're doing. I know I don't. I certainly don't know what I'm doing half the time. The Bible says that we have shortcomings. We've all sinned and come short. In this flesh man, this flesh body, I just wish, and through fasting and praying, and trying to spend the time wisely. You know, you can get carried away into things and waste a lot of time. I preach funerals where I added up the hours of a person's birth and death, and then added up the hours and the minutes and the seconds, and it was so alarmingly short. Man is born of a few days, and full of trouble, the Bible says. And yet, what with an angel, there is angels that have come down specifically and intervened in the affairs of those to whom you didn't even know that you had an association with. Yahweh spoke about this to little children. He said, their angels do always behold my face. They're angels. Does everybody have a guardian angel? I'm amazed. This angel is not allowed to interfere except in rare instances. He can't carry on a conversation with you. He's assigned to watch over you. Now, I guarantee you tonight I could probably take a poll out there of my listeners tonight on the Late Show. And every one of you would probably say that you know certainly well that an angel watched over you in a particular incident in your life and delivered you. And if it hadn't been for God, you say, and his messengers or those who assist him, now, we know that the Spirit of God is everywhere. But that is not possible in the third dimension for a third dimension being everywhere. You can't master being everywhere at the same time. There's just not enough of you to go around. You may know a lot in this life. And you may understand a lot in this life. But you'll never come even reasonably close, I don't think, with the knowledge of an angel. Now, the knowledge of an angel is both good and bad, and we have reasons to believe it is. Why would an angel that knows better do something that would cause serious harm and a recompense to that very angel? Now, the Bible says the angels that sin were cast down to hell. Well, that's where man's going when he sins, isn't he? Is the destiny of man to be locked up forever with angels and to hear them complain, murmur, and curse? The Bible speaks about a place where people that go down there, they curse and they're bitter and they're envious. How would you like to join up and spend your rest of your life with a crowd like that? He said, well, if I hadn't been tempted, I wouldn't be down here. Well, we know that there is grace. But the Bible speaks, the law was given because of transgression, and Satan took advantage of that law. And every time that somebody was tried down here, we all failed and come short. And so he would take the book, and reasonably so, he would tell Yahweh, that person is not capable, or that person is not worthy to come back to heaven because he sinned. Because you said that no sin is going to enter in where you're at. Well, that put Yahweh in the dilemma. And the story that most of you already know, how that Yahweh himself overshadowed Mary, the little earth woman. And here the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, the Emmanuel, became a man. It's incredible. Here, the whole God of the universe, he came down here and wallowed in this flesh body, this mud that we're made from. I just can't get it all here. Why did angels lose their first estate and come down here and wallow in the mire with this fleshly bodies that they say they lusted for? Heavens knows that, you know, that there are some attractive people on the earth. A wise man will see beyond the beauty. Because some of this beauty is not good. It's vain. It's evil. Just like Satan made this Canaanite daughter of his, Shua, boy, she was one of those knockouts. She had to be a good-looking woman. And by being a good-looking woman, she called to Judah, and he best way I can say it. He fell for it. And look what he done. Irreparable harm. He gave up the right of his firstborn. Think about those three seeds that was born from a good man, Judah, as he lay with this beautiful woman, Shua. I say she's a good woman. Because, you see, it's not a question of good or evil. Do you ever notice that? Although that is good or evil, it's not a question of how good you can do. I've known men in the Bible that done bad things and still went to heaven. So it's based on something deeper. Something else relates. Yahweh doesn't see the heart like man sees the heart. We judge. I mean, you know, if you're petting a rattlesnake and the rattlesnake don't bite you, then we assume that that's a good rattlesnake. And yet, if we read about the species of a snake, it says they shall bite you. Sooner or later, they will. And sooner or later, sin will kill you. But what about those that can't sin? What about those to whom Yahweh give a distinctive honor? Blessed is the man, as David wrote in his Psalms, and I went back there and I read the ink off of that, trying to figure out what it means. Blessed are those to whom Yahweh will not impute sin. Does Yahweh, although it don't say a man won't sin, but it said blessed is he to whom he won't charge the man with that sin. Your sins are forgiven. When? Before the foundation of the world. Now, the angels were made, I don't know how old Yahweh was when he made angels. I know he was 33 years of age when he died. I do not know what age he was when he created angels, and some of these angels, now here's my point, some of these angels that he made long before he came into this world in a flesh body, some of those angels were charged with the responsibility of tempting him to curse God and die. To give up, to worship Satan. Now, I don't know whether you've ever been hounded or pounded by an angel or a spirit that ministers to you. I mean, you can hear their voices. Literally. It's so powerful and so real and so strong. Both good and bad. I pity those who hear bad voices in their head, like we hear of, in those who are told to go to a school, or so we're told, and shoot so many children and kill them, empty their gun, go to a church or synagogue or wherever they want to go, and empty a gun. It's mind control. Somebody's programming that mind. And if it's an evil mind, where the seed can fit into the mind, then it produces evil fruit. Because the Bible says you either make the tree, that's the man, or the angel, you either make him good or you make him bad. He cannot produce a hybrid fruit from his original being. Now, he can disguise himself. He can come like an angel of light. And I've encountered a lot of those, and I know that you all that are listening to my discourse tonight, you've listened to a lot of those angels, both good and bad. You've been tempted in all points like he was. Now, you know good and well, if he didn't have mercy upon you, you would have failed hook, line, and sinker for every trick in the devil's bag. What kept you from it? either make the tree good, your name being on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world, you are protected with an angel. It says, their angels do always behold my face before my throne. They're angels. Talk about the little ones. Well, that would be you and me. What time did you get an angel, a protective angel in your life? When you're 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7? Or was it from birth, from conception? Did the angel stand right there when you broke through the womb and the canal and entered into a third dimensional setting to fulfill the prophecy of a man born of a woman few days and full of trouble? And boy, have you ever got your money's worth. I know I have. I have spent a lifetime spinning my wheels trying to understand things, seeking things. Where did God come from? Where did angels come from? Why did angels sin? Why did one angel be good and the other bad? Why do I have to make so many choices? Why am I having to go through this stuff? Why don't Yahweh just call a silly halt to everything and save everybody and say the game's over? You're all mine. I created all of you. And I'm going to let you all come and spend all of your time floating on a cloud with a harp. Whatever angels and those who are resurrected do. Those who what's the Bible say? Transformed in a twinkling of an eye. Why do we have to come into the third dimensional element and suffer the cold? I've seen people, poor people. I've always had a soft spot in my. They're hardened. They're not lazy. Their hands are cracked open from the cold. They don't have gloves. I've seen all that during my years. And yet they don't know Yahweh. For what purpose? Would it be to slave in the cold and be hungry and poor and destitute and not know Him? Where is the passion of Yahweh? Why would He let somebody like a little child go out and wander away from the home and get lost and lay down in the woods and die? I really don't understand all these things. I really don't. I have more questions each time I think about these things. It just generates more questions. Well, does the Bible say that His ways are past finding out? Did He question about the heat and the cold? Yes, He did. He brought a question up to Job. Have you ever wondered how the earth hangs out in space on nothing? How that the Creator just seemed like He made the earth out of a little ball and spun it out there with His great hand? And it's just like an endless top turning on its axis. It never stops. It's perfectly balanced. And you look at those things and you wonder, did He want us to look up and behold these marvelous things, like David said, and acknowledge Him in all of our ways? Did you know that pride will keep you from acknowledging Yahweh or confessing Him or turning to Him or praising Him? Did you know that Herod was such a great speaker that he persuaded so many people with his skills that when he spoke like a god? Somebody like a Hitler, only probably 10 times more persuasive. And yet when he failed to acknowledge Yahweh in the speech, just in the speech, and when he ended his speech, I don't know what he said. He didn't say, to Yahweh be glory. He didn't say that. He took the credit or gave it to some other god. And did you know what it done? It provoked the angel that was standing next to him, and the angel smote him with worms. What does the angels or Yahweh, what do they care what you say and what you do and what you eat and what you, where you sleep at? What you put on and, what do they care? What are we doing here anyway? Oh, we trap like animals. We can't get away from the watchers. We're responsible. We have to give an account for every idle word that we speak because our days are numbered and our steps are ordered. For what? What? What's the cause of all this? Where's the end of it? What's going to be the result of it? Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Let us fear Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We come down here with a duty. So we got down here and some enticing spirits some kind of little pet project we get on. Some people are so passionate about things, they're collectors, they spend untold hours and hours and hours of collecting marbles, of all things. Such a passion. They never sit down, they're so wrapped up in collecting things, or doing things, or making things, or going somewhere, or doing something, their minds never stop to fear Yahweh, to keep his commandments. What causes us to do that? What is in us? What would possess us? You know, when Yahweh took a poll, and he does occasionally, he said, who's going to persuade Ahab and his friend here, who's going to persuade him to go up to war when old Micah is telling him not to? And an angel stepped up and said, well, sir, I tell you what I'll do. I'll become a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets, and I'll convince them all that he ought to go up. And Yahweh said, go and persuade him. I mean, here the whole heavens was ganging up on poor old Ahab. And Jeroboam, they had so many trials and tribulations and troubles. Yahweh provoked them. Who persuaded them to go up and get themselves killed? Man, who's in charge here? Who's in control? Who's driving this bus? This insane world that we live in. Wouldn't it be nice if we were born with enough knowledge to save ourselves and them that would hear us? That's why that I'm here tonight trying to figure out some of these things. And I'm up in my 70s. And I still ain't got it figured out. I still want to get up in the morning and think on these things. I want to go to bed and meditate on them. Hours and hours and hours. I've never had a pet rock to carry around. You know, back in the 60s, I remember they came out with the pet rocks and everybody had one. Well, I better not incriminate myself because I got a little rock I've carried for years and years and years. It's my birthstone. Now, I don't know why I do that. I do know that in the 34th chapter of the book of Exodus, he said to do that. Here I am finding myself trying to do things that would please Yahweh. Does these things really matter? Would Yahweh favor a man that carried a little pet rock around his birthstone? Would he really, would that mean anything to Yahweh? Would he be concerned with that? When you come before him, when he examines you and he searches your heart, would he know that a long time ago that you made a choice to carry a little birthstone around in your pocket? I don't know. But there's something in me that would like to think so. That you do this to please Yahweh. You know, like wearing certain items. Do you feel uncomfortable dressed up in a, what were them suits we wore back in the 60s? Seersucker or whatever it was. Polyester. I don't know. It was something that was, it was just god-awful, I know that, looking back on it. That time we thought it was cool. But you're not supposed to do that. I was aware a long time ago that you didn't mix the garments. I was aware a long time ago that you didn't eat food that Yahweh said you shouldn't eat. Some people can sit down and eat this and justify it, and thinking that they've done no wrong, and you don't see no ill effects from it. And they live a long life. I don't understand it. I can't do that. I'm not made that way. I'm strange. I'm peculiar. I've always been that way. Would an angel recognize that? Would they be able to come back and report he's one of ours? Have you been made a certain way to become a peculiar, strange, stranger on earth? Do you stick out like a sore thumb because you're made that way? Did Yahweh brand you? You've never fit in anywhere at any time, at any place, and you just lay down and you crash your fist against the stone trying to figure out what in the world is wrong with me. Why can't I enjoy my life like these people seem to be doing? You ever felt like that? That you were a square peg trying to fit into the round hole of life? Well, ladies and gentlemen, these are some of the things that I questioned tonight about angels. I just had them on my mind tonight. And I thought I'd share them with you. Have you think on these things? Where do they come from? Who are they? Why are they so much like us? In certain ways. And in certain ways, why are they completely different from us? Listen to this one. Daniel, again, let me finish up here. I haven't even got into my scriptures. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, one of the most powerful revelations that somebody's running this planet, and it sure ain't us. The sentence, now this is after old Nebuchadnezzar, the great king, he ruled the known world at this time in Babylon. Daniel was telling him the sentence after he saw the vision and he saw the angel come down. He said, the sentence is by the decree of the watchers. The decision is by the word of the Holy Ones. To the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will and sets over it the lowest of men. Now, I found that most amazing. You may have a predestined life. If if the watchers have made a decree and marked you, and some people really are marked from before they were born. Cain was marked. Esau was marked. Before he ever done any good or any evil in the womb, and we know what he done in the womb, he started acting like a devil from before he ever come out of the womb. I'm telling you, it's fearful. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living one. When men begin to multiply on the face of the land, daughters were born to them, the sons of God. Saw the daughters of men were attractive. They took to them wives. Can a spirit bend the watchers? Can they become flesh and blood and hook up with offspring of women? Did it cause a great problem? Yep. I don't know why we're like this. I really don't. I have no idea. But I do know this much. The moral of the story is, as I said, young man, hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear Yahweh. Don't eat that pork. When the devil tells you don't have to be baptized in Yahweh's name, don't listen to that. I've got to get off of here before I get to preaching. Praise Yahweh. And I just feel the preacher coming on. Well, Yahweh bless you tonight. Right, Nate, Pastor Buddy, I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark down in the great state of Mississippi with Brother Bud, Brother Ed, and Brother Paul up in the great state of Michigan and all the tithers that helps Pastor Buddy hold his hands up. We need your help on our assembly down here tonight. Brother Paul's number is 1-800-253-2748. Give him a call. Tell him Pastor Buddy sent you. Remember us. Let an angel talk to your heart tonight. Remember us here at the Kingsgate Inn property. We have a double wide. We're trying to set it up for an assembly where you can come and sit in a nice warm place out of the rain. Mostly spend our time under a tent. We're old-fashioned people. We're poor. But we need your help. Sit down and write me an offering check tonight and send it to Brother Buddy just in remembrance of this sermon I preach tonight. Yahweh's angels might come by and touch you. You never know. Praise Yahweh. All right. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. And if you'd like to call me, the number tonight, 1-423-351-1082. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on 2.390. That's 2390. Try that frequency tomorrow night.